Satnam, this is Ryan from the International Kundalini Yoga Teachers Association. Today I'm joined on the phone by Navneet Kaur from the Guru Ram Dass Center for Medicine and Humanology. Navneet Kaur will be talking about cold depression, what it is, and how to overcome it. So thank you very much for joining us today, Navneet Kaur.
Thank you, Ryan. I'm Navneet Kaur Khalsa, and I'm the Curriculum Development Coordinator for the Guru Ram Dass Center for Medicine and Humanology, and I'm here to talk about cold depression. So what exactly is cold depression? Yogi Bhajan defined cold depression as the biggest challenge we were going to face in the Aquarian Age. And how we think of it is as the silence of the soul. When we're cut off from our spirit, our source, our strength, and our inner guidance. So where does it come from and what does it look like? What's the meaning of this and how is it relevant to our lives as yoga teachers and yoga students? So where it comes from, we'll start there. It comes from two places. As we move from the Piscean Age to the Aquarian Age, there's a period, the gray era that we're in. And it's going to take us about 27 years to integrate this transition that we're in. Historically, cold depression has occurred when there's epochal changes before. So there's an individual impact, and then there's a collective impact on the global population as we move through this transition time. So that's one component of cold depression. Along with that is, and what sort of has exacerbated it this time, is how it has worked together, this transition period, in conjunction with the impact of the information age. So the two have converged to create cold depression and our experience of that globally and individually now. So what about this transition and what about the information age leads to cold depression? In summary, it's the impact of the unrelenting stress that we experience and the information overload, which we can all relate to. That's part of this transition in the gray period, and it's also a result of the expectation and the overload of information, the expectation that we're going to respond to things immediately, all of the things that the information age have given us in terms of access to information, access to one another's, but it has also created an unrelenting pressure and unrelenting stress. So these are the factors that have led to this period and experience of cold depression. So really behind that and behind these factors, it's really our nervous systems and our intuitions is not sufficiently developed to meet the challenge of this age or the demands that are on us. And I think that that's an important point to remember in terms of how we look at cold depression, in that the unrelenting stress and our ability to meet that stress is really about how do we manage and restore our nervous systems and how do we develop our intuition so that we can meet this challenge. So what does cold depression look like? In general terms, it's the loss of a sense of self or personal identity. It can show up as built up anger and hatred. So where does that anger and hatred come from? It's really a response to the individual's sense of betrayal. In that without the feeling of that connection to our soul, one's life lacks depth and meaning. Without the soul, the individual's at a loss without this guidance. It's like a boat without a rudder, sort of being batted around on a stormy sea. Which I'm sure we can all relate to. It really, our soul gives us guidance, and without that communication and that sense of connection to our soul, we feel that that sense of loss, loss of direction, loss of connection, and sort of a overall feeling of not being settled and safe in our identity and our sense of self and in the world. So co-depression may be a precursor to clinical depression, and it's often confused with clinical depression. So from a yogic perspective, both co-depression and clinical depression involve a lack of prana. But a person with co-depression looks differently than a person with clinical depression. The person with co-depression is running on adrenaline. They're seeking adrenaline, the adrenaline rush, looking for external stimulation. And unfortunately, how external stimulation was able to support us during the Piscean age, it's not going to work anymore in the Aquarian age. So the person is craving caffeine, craving sugar, makes drama out of everything, creates messes and upsets. The person might experience anxiety and fear, but it looks like numbness, general numbness, as opposed to how it looks in clinical depression, where people are anxious and fearful in a different sort of way. The person would not appear to have a diagnosis. Generally, people who are struggling with cold depression are your superstars. They're your high achievers, but they're struggling and trying to get more and more stimulation from the outside world. So as a result, they have many addictive behaviors and risk-taking behaviors. So in summary, cold depression, it comes from two places, the information age and the impact of that, as well as the shift that we're in this epochal change and during this gray period that we're in. And as a result of those two influences converging, what happens is we're not sufficiently developed to meet the challenge of this age. So how it looks in a person, cold depression, is someone who is numb, not connected, and is trying to make up for that with constantly seeking more stimulation, more external kinds of rushes. And as a result of that, like, people with co-depression can create quite a mess in their lives, as you might imagine. In addition to individual co-depression and how that looks as in an individual, there's a collective or group co-depression, and that can look like a culture of conflict, a culture of upset, of drama, organizations that create drama and upset, groups that create that, our society, in that I think we think of it as caffeine on every corner. There's a Starbucks on every corner. People are taking quadruple shots of espresso so that they can meet the challenges of their day. More caffeine, more sugar, more violence on TV, more, more, more. We have a culture that is sort of under the influence of cold depression. People feeling numb, not connected to their soul, and searching desperately outside of themselves to find the answer and find that connection. And then experiencing the failure of their effort to look outside of themselves to access what really is within themselves. So we're going to talk more about what you as a yoga teacher can do for yourself and for your students in an effort to deal with cold depression. So Yogi Bhajan on October 17th, 2000 gave us a meditation for release of cold depression. And this meditation is done to Wahe Guru, Wahe Jio by Sangeet Kaur. And how you do this meditation is you interlace your fingers so that the fingertips press into the cavities between the backs of each hand. The index fingers are pointed straight up together along their length. It's really important to press down on those cavities between the fingertips, or between the fingers of each hand. The thumbs are crossed over one another comfortably, and your hands are held at your chest level. Your eyes are open and focused at the tip of your nose. So along with the music, you chant the mantra from your navel point, creating a mental focus in this way. At the sound of wa, you focus at the navel point. Hey, you focus at the chest. And guru, you focus at the lips. So it's wa, hey, guru. Mental focus at the navel point, the chest, and the lips. And you continue for 3 to 31 minutes. And to end, you inhale and hold your breath and listen to the sound of the mantra. Repeat within you. And then you exhale. And you inhale again and hold and give back all the cold depression to God. And exhale. And then you inhale and hold and feel the preciousness of life. And then you let go of your exhale so that at the end of your life, you may give it with ease and relax. I hope you enjoy this meditation. Okay, so now ways to help your students. We're going to start by the beginning, which is you begin by understanding who your student is, who they are as unique beings, and then you'll be best able to help meet their needs. Next, we don't go for something big, a major change, a big overhaul, not everything you know about Kundalini yoga, change their diet, do it all at once. You start with just one small thing that your student is willing to commit to and to agree to. So how this works is with the one thing different is you stick with one small change and you stay with it for a while and until the person gets it, masters it, and feels successful at it. That's the foundation for change. Thirdly, what we want to do with Kundalini yoga, we want to raise vitality and increase calmness. So what I mean by raising vitality is we want our students to have energy and feel calm, not the kind of what they think of as vitality where it is adrenaline-driven, type A personality, need to succeed, push, 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 go, go, go. But we want energy to do the things that we want to do and then that calmness that comes along with sustained energy. So the person with cold depression suffers from a lack of prana, right? So we use breath to increase prana and thus to raise vitality. Lastly, what we can do is support students to restore their natural rhythm and release stress patterns. So Kundalini yoga is great for this. We use pranayama, mantra, kriya, meditation. And specifically, the rhythm in mantra and kriya restores that natural rhythm that's in the body. It allows the students to release their stress patterns and to regain their natural rhythm. Finally, the thing that is really essential in terms of a way to help your students with cold depression is to support them with deep relaxation. Oftentimes, we add relaxation sort of at the end as an afterthought, but really focusing and prioritizing on the essential need for relaxation is really important as a yoga teacher and a really important way to help your students. So in terms of relaxation and meeting your students where they are, some students will really have a difficult time being still or being okay with relaxing, particularly when they're really struggling with cold depression. They're going to feel like this is a waste of time. I can get up and go now. I need to go. I need to get back to whatever, you know, that sort of thing. So you really need to work with your students and increase their capacity to feel comfortable with deep relaxation. So what I've outlined is 5 things that you can do to help students with cold depression. The first is beginning to develop an understanding of who your student is. The second is to do one thing different, getting your students to agree to that. The third is to raise vitality. The fourth is to restore the student's natural rhythm helping them to do that. And finally, emphasizing the importance of relaxation. So now that we've talked about your students, what about you as yogis? This is a time of great subtlety. Let your radiance and your shabbats work. The power of your frequency is what will carry you. So this time and the gray period, we can no longer power through our body. What happens is we end up in exhaustion, fatigue, and feeling the weight of the times. So what I'm suggesting is that you use your subtlety and use your radiance and move from that place in the world. The concept of Saibun is a concept of acting from your unique light, a place of self-authority, from your unique sovereignty, that which is uniquely yours. So what that means is the ability to hold steady despite all of what occurs and all the pulls outside of you with the demands of this time and the pressures of the information age and the pace that our culture is moving at. In terms of your life as a yogi, you know that you're experiencing life from a place of Saibun when you're aligned with your soul and your mind has learned to listen. So what I think of often about this is a quote I have in my office, which is, hassle and hustle or settle and surrender. So I think that I know I feel that pressure often to get it done, struggle, that sort of thing. And I have to remind myself that really that's not the most efficient way to get things done or the best, most effective way to get things done. That really using my subtlety, using my steadiness and moving that place is far more effective. And when you act from this place, there's no struggle. Your projection has an impact on the frequencies that are around you. So again, as yogis, this is a great time, a subtle time, and a time for you to use your radiance, use your subtlety, and move from that place of Saibun. So if you want to learn more about cold depression, we're offering a training in Los Angeles on November 1st through 3rd. And I would highly recommend this training because you'll learn more about how to help your students, more of what the impact of cold depression is on your students. You'll also receive a curriculum designed specifically to address cold depression, so you'll be able to go out and teach your yoga students a curriculum that's designed specifically to address this issue. The course also provides you as a teacher, as a Kundalini yoga teacher, the opportunity to develop strategies and to care for yourself to manage this issue of cold depression and how the cultural and epochal changes is impacting our society and to sort of insulate yourself and protect yourself from this influence. Ways to connect and reconnect to your soul and experience your Saibun as you teach. So I would highly recommend that you join us if you can for the Los Angeles training. And if you're interested and want more information, you can contact the Guru Ram Dass Center for Medicine and Humanology at grdcenter.org. So I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you and Sat Nam.
Thank you, Navneet, and thank you all for listening. And thank you all for being Kundalini Yoga teachers. Keep up. Sat Nam.